If you saw Richard Gere, he of the steel gray hair and perfectly chiseled cheekbones, panhandling on the street, you'd give, right? You'd maybe ask for an autograph or a selfie. Actually, maybe you'd look right through him. That's what the actor says happened when he was doing research for and then filming his new movie, in which he plays George Hammond, who'd lost his home, his job, and apparently a part of his mind, and moves from vacant apartment to park bench to shelter, further and further down the rabbit hole that is homelessness. In this scene, he tries to check into a shelter.
Do you have anybody you can call? Anybody you can stay with, a friend's couch?
I don't have any.
Nothing.
Look, are you filled up or something? Is that... I could come back later if that's better.
There's no later.
No.
The law says we have to give you a bed.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I could... Any place is fine. Anything you got. I mean, the floor's fine with me. I just need a blanket. A blanket makes me sleep better. I like a blanket.
Richard Gere's new film is called Time Out of Mind. It gives new meaning to the word drifter. And he joins us from the NPR studios in New York. Welcome.
Hey, Robin. Thank you for having me here.
We'll talk about what I referenced, going with director Oren Moverman to the streets, you know, as a homeless person. What happened?
We did a test shoot down in the village on Astor Place, where there's a cube, and it turns, it swivels, and tourists come and they give it a big turn, and thousands and thousands of people go by this thing all the time. So I came out there for this test, and the cameras were in the Starbucks across the street. So I walked from two blocks away, walked in there. I was in character. You know, I gave myself a haircut with a Swiss Army knife. It wasn't very attractive. And I was a little anxious on two levels. One, just personally, because it's nothing that I would do as a known person. I wouldn't just be standing there in a public place. And as the producer of the film, if this didn't work, we didn't have a movie. If I couldn't get 30 seconds without getting noticed, we couldn't make the movie. So I came out there with a certain anxiety, and I quickly realized that no one was paying any attention to me, nobody. I could see from two, three blocks away, once I got comfortable with this, that people were making certainly an unconscious, sometimes conscious decision that there is a panhandler. He's going to be bothering me. He's going to want money. I don't want to give him any money. Why should I give any money? I'm feeling guilty. I don't give him any money. Why is he making me feel guilty that I'm not giving him any money? I don't like this guy. Why? I'm in anger. I could feel all these swirling of emotions. And I think on a deeper unconscious level, I could see people react to me like I was a black hole that they would be sucked into, that there was a black hole of failure.
In fact, we have a clip where you as the character talk about that feeling of being the black hole and the nothing, a nothing. Let's listen. And by the way, your character has befriended briefly another homeless man. He's played by Ben Vereen. Let's listen.
I'm nobody. I don't exist.
You're reduced.
You don't exist. We do not exist.
What do you mean we don't exist? We don't exist.
Yeah, that feeling that you were describing on the street. And I'm thinking, Richard Gere, for anyone to have that existential moment of, wait a minute, I am a human, you have to acknowledge me, would be something. You are, as you've said, a very public person. Normally you walk into a street, everybody knows who you are. But what else was behind your wanting to do this? I mean, because didn't you also sympathize with the people walking down the street thinking,
oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, I felt guilty that I was making them go through these emotional changes. Mm. And what right did I have as the panhandler, as the homeless guy, but also the filmmaker, you know, of putting them through this? But our motivation was really pure in this, of wanting to look into the human soul. I think that was – look, I've been involved with the Coalition for the Homeless in New York a long time, and I care about this subject, but I care even more deeply about what those deepest yearnings we all have are. And we are social creatures, deeply social creatures. We don't behave that way very often, but we can't exist on our own. And I wanted to explore the mystery of that yearning to connect.
You've talked about how your own Buddhist faith kind of helped you be the person wandering the streets because what?
I certainly wasn't thinking about this as I was planning it or I was making the film. But when I saw a first cut, I certainly was struck by how monk-like this guy is. Mm. There's no anger in him. He's not blaming the world. He's not blaming God. He's not blaming anyone for his situation. The furthest he goes is in the middle of the bureaucratic hornet's nest that he finds himself, just saying to people, I don't care what you write on the forms. I'm hungry and I'm tired. And beyond that, I need, he doesn't say this because he's not the kind of character who would articulate that, but I need connection. That sense of belonging is the beginning of healing. We can find the internal resources to move towards a life that is meaningful and happy. The basis of that is this sense of genuine belonging. But unless we can get on that vibration of connection, of love, we'll never, ever achieve real happiness.
You said that you had sympathy for people who were looking at you as a homeless person, for all of us who, you know, we want to be our best, but sometimes you just, your patience runs out. You feel like you can't help a homeless person who's coming up to you. You capture that. How did you, though, approach the line of sympathy when it came to family? Just a brief story. I did a piece once for the Today Show. I met a young woman who was constantly looking for homeless dad, and this was in the 80s. He was alcoholic on the streets. Her brother, on the other hand, was rigid with rage. He said, you know, my father's dead to me, but then, you know, a breeze came through the window and it reminded him of when he went to baseball games with his dad and he started to weep. Mm. So they expressed this rage and love. You have that in your character's daughter. She's played by Jenna Malone. They meet in a laundromat. Let's listen.
You seem good. You seem pretty good.
What else do you want? I want you. Because I'm busy and I don't want to get involved in any of your ever again. I don't.
Richard Gere, how did you approach that? Because you created a very sympathetic character with this dad, but we have to be able to understand her anger.
Well, yeah. I mean, I wasn't there. I think she says later on, I said, you know, it's the parents are supposed to take care of the kids, not the kids take care of the parents. And all of us can relate to that. I don't think any of us had perfect parents. I don't think it's possible. But I think there's a lot of damage that we are all processing, probably forever. But I think it goes back to those root things. Where's my tribe? Where are the people that I can trust? But I don't think that ever really goes away. As a 66-year-old man, I'm still looking for the situation where I can trust and feel secure and feel that I'm precious.
Well, but what are we supposed to think, Richard Gere, of this character? Alcoholic, abandoned his child, and yet we just feel for him. He can't get a bed. What are we supposed to do with this?
I think just get back to that very simple notion that we're all in this together. And the collective good is really important to us. There are strategies that work. Almost all of them are based on housing. We need a place. Human beings need a place. And it's not a warehouse. I mean, the shelters in New York are certainly better than nothing, but it's warehousing. One of the things that I really felt on the street, and I should have known this, but I was really feeling how quickly a human being can deteriorate. And the humiliation and isolation of being on the streets and being the invisible black hole, what that does to the human spirit, how fragile our reality structures are. And if we don't have healthy minds and positive minds and optimistic minds and know that we're always leaning towards love and that's possible, none of the strategies are going to work, certainly not warehousing and shelters.
I'm thinking, too, maybe even just while other people work on policy, the rest of us just, you know, eye contact.
I've gone through this, and I'll share you my own process of going through this. I always felt like giving something. Even if it was a quarter in the old days, I gave something. And now, you know, it's a dollar or $5. I'll give to anyone on the street. There was a point in my process where it was, well, I wanted to make sure it was food, that it wasn't booze or it wasn't drugs or something like that. So I somehow was trying to instill with them, I give them money, but this is for food, right? And it was, and I started to feel really guilty about that. It's none of my business. It's my business to be generous. It's not to be strict. I also went through a period where I insisted that they talk to me. And on some level, it was, I wanted to hear their life story. And I realized that how invasive that was. So at this point, I engage someone, I do look them in the eyes, but I silently think as I'm looking at them, I wish you happiness. And I give them whatever I give them. If they want to engage and talk, I talk. If not, I wish you happiness. And I move on.
Actor Richard Gere talking about his film Time Out of Mind, in which he plays a homeless man. Richard, thanks so much.
Thank you, Robin. I appreciate this time to talk. Enjoyed it.
Well, Time Out of Mind opens in New York and Los Angeles this week. And this topic, you may have picked up, has been a longtime passion for Richard Gere. Today he'll be on Capitol Hill participating in a panel on homelessness moderated by California Congresswoman Maxine Waters.